Morning. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, I'm really thrilled, actually, to be able to wrap this one up because I get to talk about some of my favourite things. So that's fabulous. If we want a title for today, this is Creating a Rule of Life. So we're going to be focusing on the rule of life today, which kind of brings all of the practices together in one place. And then just this little line I found as I was doing some research and reading about the rule of life in a bit more detail. It says, choosing slow and thoughtful amid the noise of life. And I think really a lot of what practicing the way has been about is to be able to slow down, to do less, to make space. So that's the title. So as we've said, it is the last part of the series, and our prayer as a leadership team is really that you have received something from what you have heard, and that it is helping you in your spiritual growth, and it's encouraged you to maybe look at things a little bit differently. Obviously, you know, this is one way of looking at spiritual formation. I appreciate that. There are other ways of looking at it, but this is the way that we have chosen to look at it. It's really fantastic. And as you know, it's something that I'm pretty passionate about and have really sought over. Probably, we worked it out, didn't we, Dave? It was probably the last 5 years, probably just going back a bit before, where we really, as a couple and as a family, started to try and work this way. But in many respects, we've only scratched the surface. And I know when did we start this? It was January, wasn't it? It was January, yes. Yeah. So we have been doing this series since January. So we have been doing it slowly and thoughtfully. But literally, we have only scratched the surface of what this is all about. And I think, again, a number of people have referenced when they've preached is that in other places, you can break these spiritual practice talks down into 4 sessions and more and all of the rest of it. So we have only scratched the surface of this material and this way of living. And I say, I know some small groups have been using the material and the videos that sort of back up the book. So we as a church have looked at the practices individually as part of our teaching programme, but the book and the series is slightly different. There are some slightly different elements that layer onto it, but absolutely makes sense. And in particular, our small group has been through the series, and we have found it incredible as a group, actually. It has done something in us as a group. It has drawn some stuff out. We've gone to deep places. We've been all over the place. And again, we did the last session on Wednesday night, and we were there till 9:30 talking about community. And that last session, it was talking about community. So again, we really have been engaged with that. If you haven't looked at that, I would highly recommend you do that. It's freely available. I mean, the stuff that is available on that website is incredible, and then the links into the myriad of other things that are available as you look into this subject are all there. So, what next? Well, I suppose that is entirely up to you in terms of how you want to build these practices into your own life. And I suppose we as a church community, because often it talks about this stuff works when we're all doing similar things in community together, whether that's in a family, in a small group, or as a broader community of the church. It is entirely up to us. It might be something that we take forward, and you know, because at this moment in time, we are not a practicing the way church, right? Okay, so there are some churches that are a lot further along the journey, and they go, "This is how we live." But you know, we're scratching the surface. And I was just—it's interesting at the leaders' conference, the New Wine Leaders' Conference. Pete Hughes from King's Cross Church in London says they're building a rule of life for their community. And part of the reason they're doing this is in response to the growth they're seeing, because people are coming into church who have got no background in Christian things or how to live a Christian life. And actually, the practice in the way and the spiritual practices and the rule of life are providing a really useful framework to help people who are new to faith outwork that faith in a quite a structured and measured way. So that's just one example of how it's being used in community. Again, one thing I would say is that it's really good to reflect on a series like this. Don't just put it on the shelf. Don't just take your practice in the way book or your workbook or whatever it is that you've been doing and put it on the shelf and then go, we've done that. It's worth taking a bit of time to go through what you've learned. Look back, listen to some stuff. You might want to do that individually. You might want to do that in your small groups next time you meet. And here's a few questions you could ask yourself. So how are you doing in your formation journey? Have you moved forward since the beginning of January? Where is there evidence of change? Where are you focusing your attention and going deeper? So I know there are areas that I haven't really touched on as we've gone through this stuff over the last, or parts of it over the last 5 years, that actually this time have really captured my attention and I'm focusing on some of those. What has been straightforward and easy to grasp? What has been challenging? And then this one, and again, and this is not to be in judgment, but if you've done nothing, and you may have, and that's, you know, that is between you and God, why is that? Are you still weighing up what you've heard? Is it not your thing? Have you struggled to connect with the material? Or are you just not doing something for another reason that could be anything? And again, if you do find yourself in that position where you've struggled with some of this, you might want to chat that through with somebody who is a bit more further forward in the journey. Because what a shame to not be receiving and being able to move forward. So what next? So how do we bring all the practices together? And this is about how do we embed these practices into our lives to enable us to, as we've talked about all along this journey, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do the things he did. And I think the answer can be found in the creation of a rule of life. Listen to this quote by a chap called Jeremy Linneman and see if it resonates. Amid our busy schedules, we're constantly juggling relationships and responsibilities and often feel like we're dropping more balls than we're keeping in the air. When we lack a consistent and thoughtful way of doing life well, we will end up distracted and overwhelmed by life, and our spiritual and emotional growth will plateau. Few of us want to take this approach to life, but it just seems to happen. We wind up scattered. Our schedule is full but doesn't often reflect our purpose and priorities. Hurried. We're busier than we want to be, but we don't know what to change. We're reactive. It seems we're never in charge. We're always responding to demands. Exhausted. We end each day weary and discouraged, unsure if we spent it well. My experience as a pastor has shown me that many of my friends and church members aren't undone by poor theology or a lack of biblical information. Instead, we often fail to grow spiritually because we haven't planned and made space for a deep, abiding fellowship with God. And that is why we need the rule of life. An unknown author said, one of the most important keys to success is having the discipline to do what you know you should do, even when you don't feel like doing it. So what's a rule of life? And this is sort of directly from the material. It says, a rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices. So we've been through the practices and relational rhythms. Rhythm, a really important word, that create the space we need to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as we did. And one of the words that keeps coming through as we meet, and again, it came through on Wednesday night as we were talking, Dave Redmill said, he said, we have to be intentional about this. And we keep saying this word, we need to be intentional, we need to be intentional. And the rule of life is just that. It's an intentional plan to slow us down, to simplify our lives. And that is around being formed by Jesus. It's to turn this sort of vision and the theory, so we've heard some theory about the practices and about formation, it's about turning that into a reality that we can keep to. And again, the practice in the way guys talk about ancient ideas whose time has come again, and the rule of life is one of them. And it's all about enabling us to be able to live life to the full, as it says in John 10 and verse 10. In his kingdom, in alignment with our passions and our priorities. Now, we know, don't we, a lot of people live unintentionally. Again, I'm not somebody that easily does life just taking 1 minute as it comes. I need to have a plan. Michelle bought me a little thing. It said, It said, take time to breathe. Don't always have a plan or something. Just breathe and let go. And I know there's part of me that does need to do that. But actually, and as we'll come on to a bit later, actually having a rule of life and some other things around me enables me the space to be a bit more free thinking. But that's not about living unintentionally. I think people who live unintentionally, they get pushed around by the circumstances and by culture. And it is the spiritual disciplines that can serve as anchor points for us. Things that we can do daily, weekly, monthly and yearly that keep us from drifting. I'll say it now, but I will say it probably a few times. They are not tasks on a to-do list that each day you tick off. And when I show you my rule of life later, it's not my to-do list. My to-do list is something else. These are anchor points, reference points that keep me in line with Jesus. John Mark Comer says, a rule was a schedule and set of practices to order your life around the way of Jesus in community. It was a way to keep you from getting sucked into the hurry, busyness, noise and distraction of regular life. A way to slow down. A way to live into what really matters, to what Jesus called abiding. As I said, this is an ancient thing. It goes way back to the 6th century, and it is rooted in the monastic work of St. Benedict. I think last week I mentioned St. Augustine, didn't I? I did that in error. That was something else. So St. Benedict, who was an early Christian monk, and what he wanted to do was clarify and write down his vision for the community that he led as they pursued God together. So he wrote a vision on paper and it became the first rule of life, known as the Rule of St. Benedict. And since that time, many people have adopted that practice, not only for community, but also in their personal life. Now, the Benedictine rule revolves around five practices: prayer, work, study, hospitality, and renewal. And actually, I've just noticed something there, because if you remember, I've spoken a little bit about Glenn Packiam's rhythms of intentionality. Actually, I think he's got five things in his rhythms of intentionality that are probably more based around that than the nine practices we've been through. And he says prayer is the foundation to monastic life, as is their calling, as it is a constant part of their life. And I was like thinking about, right, if I was going to offer a bit of advice, if you hadn't got so far down the journey, where would you start with your spiritual practices and where would you want to invest time? I'd say first Sabbath, second prayer. Okay, you get Sabbath right, actually, a lot of it all comes into play. So again, really important prayer as part of that. So the rule of St. Benedict is timeless, but in many ways it's really fresh and relevant. And although written for monks, many of the issues addressed in the rule can be applied to the world outside monastic community. The qualities which make up a valued life: humility, patience, simplicity, solitude, caring for others, living in community, concern everyone. And these specifics of the rule and the framework it provides have great meaning for people who are seeking out their life in faith today. So why should we do it? Well, what does Jesus say? So in John 15 and verses 5 to 8, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John Mark Comer, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which again I would highly recommend, says the word rule comes from the Latin word regular, which literally means a straight piece of wood. So think about I'm not going to say a ruler, a rule. Can't get told off, it's not a ruler, it's a rule. But it was also used for a trellis. So think of Jesus' teaching on abiding in the vine, as in John 15, one of the most important teachings on emotional and spiritual life. What a trellis is to a vine, a rule of life is to abiding in God. It's a structure, in this case, a schedule and a set of practices to set up abiding in Christ as the central pursuit of your life. In a sermon on the same topic, John Mark Comer said that without a trellis, plants bear a fraction of the fruit and are vulnerable to threats like coyotes. Another lady said, a rule of life is a pattern of spiritual disciplines that provide structure and direction for growth in holiness. It is like a trellis. It curbs our tendency to wander and supports our frail effort to grow spiritually. Here's a few scriptures that can help us just focus our attention. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 in the Message says, put God in charge of your work and then what you have planned will take place. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. And then Psalm 32 and verse 8 in the ESV says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, here's some whys to why you should have a rule of life. These are what I think. I think it changes us, or it should change us. The rule of life forms and transforms us. It helps us with life's ongoing and most essential questions. Who am I and how do I want to live? And as we grow closer to God and live as he calls us, we are shaped by his guidance and moulded into his image. It provides clarity. A lot of the practice in the way but focuses on inner work and emotional healing and all kinds of things. Spending time doing inward-looking work provides clarity, even when times are uncertain and there is change afoot. It's like having a map to use when we are lost. So think about, again, I was thinking about anchors and things like that. Again, it's a map to help you along your way. It helps you to keep consistent. Knowing what is important to you and how you want to live will help you establish routines and rhythms that will provide continual nourishment for your soul. You'll be able to sense earlier if the well is beginning to run dry. The rule will also help you stay accountable to yourself and God. And then lastly, in this section, it will help calibrate you. Again, it sets you in the right direction, reminds you of who God is and how he wants you to live. We will fail many, many times to follow the rules, but they are here to give us guidance, call us back to what we believe and refocus our desires on God and the world when the world and our plans distract us. So how do we do it? This is the bit I like because I am super practical and I like a bit of practical application. So how do we do it? So for some of us, goals and resolutions can be quite overwhelming and quite daunting. I know setting things like New Year's resolutions, I kind of don't do that anymore because what you say on the 31st of January, you've broken by noon on the 1st. So I tend to talk in not in that language anymore, but I intend to do something now. So I have a set of intentions this year. But goals and things like that, writing things down, can be really daunting. And again, one of my biggest fears as somebody that is highly goal-oriented and likes to plan and prioritise using all my type A energy, it can sometimes take over the life that God is calling me to, and I have to find myself coming back to what it is in the plan. Otherwise, I just tend to go off on my own merry way without taking God into account. That doesn't happen often, but I recognise as somebody that is a natural doer that can be a bit of a barrier sometimes. And again, the secret to not feeling overwhelmed by goals, escaping the hurry our plans will bring to us, is by having these routine checkpoints and pauses in our lives that point us to Jesus. And again, as I've said, as I think about myself as a natural doer and what I've needed to do to build structure and discipline into my world, I've realised that actually in the Summerhill household, we have a domestic rule of life. which helps us actually run things as they do. And generally things run pretty, we've talked about this, haven't we, Dave, as well. Things do sort of run like clockwork. They very rarely come off the tracks, although slightly this week I wasn't very well for 2 days of this week, and I just felt myself thinking, oh my gosh, I've come off the track a bit. But actually what that's this domestic rule helps us to do is to have space to do other things. Like yesterday, okay, that is our Sabbath day. We had choice. We could do whatever we wanted to do. We didn't feel that we needed to be any particular way. And even today, Michelle said to me, well, what have you got to do this afternoon? I'm like, no, nothing. I'm chilling. I'm ready for wherever the sunshine takes us. And these are the things that are on our rule of life, our domestic rule of life. Now, these probably won't work for everybody, but this is what helps keep us anchored and keeps our home running. So meal prep and menu planning. Now, most of you know I love cooking, I love baking and all the rest of it, but one thing I do dislike with all that's in me is cooking during the week, during the working week. I need to know what it is we're doing. It needs to be in the, you know, we do a HelloFresh or I batch cook or whatever. That helps keep things in order. I do online grocery shopping. I do not go anywhere near big supermarket and do big shop anymore. That has created so much, time for me. The only time I will go to a supermarket, and this is it, is if I just want a mooch around Aldi to see what's new. But that's when, like, I make the bed in the morning. So I know some of you probably already, you probably just do that. But actually, it kind of sets us up for the day. The bed is made, we're ready for the day. I tidy the kitchen at the end of the day so that it's ready for the morning. I only do laundry on a Monday or Thursday, or if it gets a bit sunny, I start to do other things and get all the stuff out. And then most importantly for Dave and I, is we have a rest day. Whether we, you know, and again, sometimes that doesn't work because of just stuff, but actually generally having the rest day really, really helps us. So how does that look in practice for the spiritual disciplines? How do we then create that natural rhythm for how we live? As I said already, it's not a to-do list or a task list. It's a framework containing reference points to help us keep on track. If you're not doing something like this already, I wouldn't set yourself up for failure by making an impossible list. As I said, I do not go through my rule of life every day going, have I done that? Have I done this? Have I done that? The key thing is to have the plan, and then these rhythms just get built into your life and they become who you are, and you sort of do them without almost thinking about it because they are important. And again, they're moments and opportunities where I take time to be intentional. It's not a legalistic thing. It's a natural part of who I am. So I say, when crafting a rule for the first time, as it's been for all of the practices, and as John Mark Comer said, start small and begin with subtraction and not addition. What the rule should do is to help you plan for living a balanced, simple and prayerful life. The Anglo-Catholic writer Evelyn Underhill says it this way. She says, we mostly spend our lives conjugating three verbs, to want, to have, and to do. Craving, clutching, and fussing on the material, political, social, emotional, intellectual, even the religious. We are kept in perpetual unrest, forgetting that none of these verbs have any ultimate significance except so far as they transcended by and included in the fundamental verb. The fundamental verb to be, and that being, not wanting, not having and not doing, is the essential or the essence of a spiritual life, being. And that's, again, we've talked about being with Jesus, becoming and all the rest of it. So what do I do? So I break my activities down daily, monthly, annually, seasonally and one-offs. And I've also added a tenth kind of, it's not a practice, it's called other. And it covers off other things that I want to build into my life to keep me healthy. So my weird bedtime routine is on there. But that's something I've had to do because I needed to address a pretty poor sleep pattern. So Pete, can you pop up my rule of life? I don't know whether this is... Oh, well, it's a bit small, isn't it? I'll read it out anyway. So there you go. So this is my rule of life. I just did this in Excel. Did it in Excel. I took the practices, I put some time frames around them, and then I put some stuff in them. So this is quite a recent version. It's going to probably need to change in the next couple of months. But as you can see there, so daily under Sabbath, I take a 30-minute break from work. Weekly, 5 p.m. on a Friday to 5 p.m. on a Saturday, we have our rest time. Monthly, we try and do a day out or a date day. Seasonally, we try to take 2 mini breaks per year. Annually, we've got vacation in there, not Bible week. And then the other one I've put in there is obviously we've got our sabbatical coming up. And then you'll see also, so fasting, big blank boxes. Can't hand on heart say I'm doing anything in there. So that's an area, again, I need, you know, God to help me and focus me. Again, solitude and silence. I thought I was quite good at that, but after going through the material, not so good, really. Yeah, being on my own in the house without Dave does not constitute that. And then what I've tried to do over as we've done this series is build some more things in and just be a bit more structured around, okay, my scripture practice, what does that look like? Psalm a day, daily Bible readings, listening to Bible teachings, reading a book on a biblical theme. So I try to read a book a month. I haven't tried this one yet, but once my Lectio Bible finally wings its way to me from the US of A, reading a book of the Bible in one sitting. Apparently that's a really good way of reading scripture. And then annually it's good to try and read the whole Bible. And again, I've built that up. And then, yeah, in my other section there, I've got my healthy sleep pattern, wind down routine. I've got menu planning. I've got budgets and all of the rest of it. But this is not a to-do list, so I don't refer to that every day. So we'll leave that up there. And you can go, oh, she really doing that? I try. Right, where do we get to? Right, so as you're thinking about designing your own, what you'll need to consider is you'll need to articulate what works for you and your personality. So there'll be things on here that work for me because I am me, and also stage of life. So again, a number of us are in the stage of life in this room where we're looking after elderly parents and all the rest of it. Sometimes some of this, again, it just don't fit with what you might need to do with your time. But actually, I think actually by having some of this set down, it will provide you with the space you need that. So stage of life is really important. You also need to think about who else needs to be involved. So Dave needs to be involved in my Sabbath practice, even though it might be quite nice to go off annually on a solo trip. I don't know. But again, think about who else needs to be involved to make it work, because there's no point in you having stuff in there if it don't work for your family or for whatever else you've got going on. And as I said, use whatever, you know, helps. So I've just used Excel there just because that's what I used. My rhythms of intentionality that I did at the beginning of the year using the Glenn Packiam model, that's just in my phone. And again, you could use the rule of life builder on Practicing the Way. Actually, that's really good, and it offers some really good options for types of activity. So some of those activities I pulled off of them. Thought, oh, actually, that's a really good thing to do. So just think about practically about how you might do that. It takes a bit of effort, takes a bit of graft to work out what that is, but again, really valuable to set you on the right track. Don't try and fill all the boxes, but try and do what you want. Again, the important one I think that I realised when we were doing things like witness was about, right, okay, where do I spend the majority of my time? So I spend it in the workplace, right, what do I need to do? I need to make myself more available to my colleagues. Quite hard working virtually and all of the rest of it, and I might need to address some of that going forward. But actually, what I'm trying to intentionally do is be available to people when they need me, particularly at the moment when we're going through change and people are wanting to talk through some stuff. So that's just an example. That's a really actual simple example. You're just making yourself available, intentionally doing that. So in conclusion, the Practicing the Way guys say transformation is possible, but it's not inevitable. You need to be intentional. When people do something intentionally, something that has meaning and value for a period of time, their lives change. Our life has changed because we have embedded Sabbath into our world. Absolutely, hand on heart, 100% can say that. The practices we have heard about need to exist together and not in isolation. But again, you may focus at particular times on one more than the other. There may be some that God challenges you about. At some point, I'll be thinking about fasting and what that looks like for me. As I said, it doesn't exist in isolation. The call to live this way, it is an invitation. So it really is up to you whether you choose to live this way or not. But if you do, you do need to practice. It's active. But it's a lifelong journey. This isn't static, it's dynamic, and it changes with the seasons and stages of our life. There's no right way to craft a rule of life. The goal is to write something that is customised to you uniquely for your moment in time. And as I say, as you go on, you might want to revisit it. I tend to do a 6-monthly check-in on these kind of things. I'm probably going to need to have a little look at that because our life over the next 3 months might look completely different. And I just want to make sure I've got the right things in there. Perhaps the word rule is the wrong word for you. It sounds too rigid or too harsh. As I've said already, you can think of it as a framework to direct your actions. Use the trellis and the vine picture to see how supportive and protective something like this can be. And as I've mentioned already, I love the language that Glenn Packiam uses when he talks about rhythms of intentionality. And this is backed up by a quote from Ruth Hady Barton, who is one of my favourite authors in this space. She says, "I prefer the language of rhythm because it speaks of regularity that the body and soul can count on, but it also speaks of ebb and flow, creativity and beauty, music and dancing, joy and giving ourselves over to a force or a power that is beyond ourselves and is deeply good. Over time, as we surrender ourselves to new life rhythms, they help us to surrender old behaviours, attitude and practices so that we can be shaped by new ones." So I can see this as a framework to keep you on track and stay on the path that God is leading you in at this time. So use the Rule of Life Builder if you're thinking, oh, where do I start? I would urge you to watch session 7 of the Practice in the Way material. It was probably one of the best sessions, actually, but I think that's because it appealed to my way of thinking. It was really, really good. And then lastly, something I hadn't considered is how our theology, or what Glenn Packiam calls the rule of faith, and again, he is specifically referring to the Nicene Creed here, which if you remember, we've done a teaching programme, the one before last, wasn't it? We did the Nicene Creed, that your theology has to live alongside your rule of life. And in a recent conversation with John Mark Comer, Glenn Packiam, he talks about the Nicene Creed as the rope between the barn and the house. It is there to help us find our way home to Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And he says this not to be disparaging about the work of practicing the way and what they're trying to do, but just as a bit of a warning. He said, "It's become increasingly common to hear Christians talk about a rule of life, a pattern of practices to help you live in the way of Jesus. This often includes a rhythm of Sabbath keeping, prayer, fasting, silence and solitude and more. And it's beautiful to watch so many people take apprenticeship to Jesus seriously. And yet, as I walk with people out here on the West Coast, that's the West Coast of America, I see a tendency to take Christ-centered practices and fuse them with self-optimization techniques. Sprinkle in a bit of yoga, a bit of meditation, radical gut cleanse, and IV treatments, and all of these very good things become part of the project to be the best self you can be. Welcome to the synchronistic spirituality of the post-Christian West." He says he's writing to anyone who thinks that right practices are enough. A rule of life without a rule of faith. So without, in our instance here, I think we base our theology around the Nicene Creed. It just becomes another expression of self-curated spirituality. I have to be really careful that this, and in particular some of the stuff on the other line, doesn't become the be-all and end-all of my walk with God. I've lost my space there now. But a rule of faith invites us to submit, to embrace humility and enter a mystery. And best of all, the creed calls us beyond itself to God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. It confesses. Humility is just the pathway to proximity. Knowing God is the goal. And that's the important thing with this. It's not the task list. It's not the, it's knowing God. So in closing, I offer you this from the prologue to the rule of St. Benedict, the rule that started it all. It says, in drawing up its regulations, we hope to set down nothing harsh, nothing burdensome. The good of all concerned, however, may prompt us to a little strictness in order to amend faults and to safeguard love. Do not be daunted immediately by fear and run away from the road that leads to salvation. It is bound to be narrow at the outset, but as we progress in this way of life and in faith, we shall run on the path of God's commandments, our hearts overflowing with the inexpressible delight of love. Our ultimate goal, from all we have learned in terms of the spiritual practices, spiritual formation, and today creating this rule of life, can be found in John 3 and verse 30. In the ESV it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. In the contemporary English version, I like it, it says, Jesus must become more important while I become less important. Amen.